At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
So here we go then, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Kings of Anglia Fan Social, the show where the Cowie Army share their thoughts on all things town. I hope everyone has had a good week. Still got the off-season blues, of course. No football, but still plenty to talk about with the town. Of course, the podcast is proudly sponsored by Manscaped and Ginger Pickle. Shout out to Tony Southgate and the team for their support. This week, I'm joined by Jupster and Bono as we discuss all things town. As I said, no football, but this is a good excuse for us to have a little catch-up, a little chin-wag, keep you entertained for 45 minutes to an hour. Jupster, always a pleasure, my friend. How's things?
Oh, all good. Thank you, Ross. Thanks for having me on, and good evening, Bono. Nice to see you guys. Missing not seeing you down at Portman Road on a Saturday, but yeah, as you said at the start there, off-season blues. Unless, of course, you work in a Peterborough office, where you've had the emotions of a very good win over Sheffield Wednesday and then the defeat, and then asking them today what their plans were down at Wembley. So, sorry, lads.
Yeah, that's a good thing. When you work at a town like Peterborough, and they missed out on playoffs, and of course, Wembley on Sunday, which was it Sunday or Monday, which was just incredible. We'll get onto that later, because, of course, the championship lineup is now complete. Bono, always a pleasure, my friend. You are.
Hey, what's going on?
The Cowie cap merch shop open. Hoodies, yep. Caps, mugs. If you're watching a video, Jupster is holding one of our mugs. But yeah, how's things, my friend?
Yeah, all good. Like Jupster said, kind of end of season blues. It feels like we haven't played in nearly a month now?
Yeah.
Pretty much. There's still a little bit of football left. Obviously, we had the championship playoff and League One, like the EFL playoffs, last few days. I think we've got another round of fixtures in Italy. We've got some cup finals to look forward to, haven't we?
We do. We'll get onto them. I don't know, actually, let's just do it now, because FA Cup final, why not? The FA Cup final, of course, we're not in it. A better run this time. We had a better run this year. But of course, we are going to be in the third round of the FA Cup next season, so that's good. That's a good start. But the FA Cup final this week, and it always feels weird, doesn't it, the FA Cup final nowadays? Because I don't know, the build-up isn't the same. Of course, it's the Manchester derby in the FA Cup final, Man City, Man United. And also, Jupster, little shout-out to Leo from Crew. He was on the podcast a few weeks back, and he mentioned it. Blue Mizzou brought it up. But Inverness are in the Scottish Cup final against Celtic?
Yep.
Sorry, I got my stats right there. They're playing Celtic. Liam from Crewe is actually going to be there. Basically, he was sort of born and raised in the Highlands, and Inverness was one of his teams. He's a season ticket holder, and he's going to be there. But Jupster, cup finals are always good fun. I know you've got a bit of connection with Inverness as well.
I have, yeah. through catching up with Liam from Crewe, you know, to find out that we both follow Inverness. My story of following Inverness started when I was on a training course in Edinburgh. Wanted to go and watch one of the Old Firm one evening to pass the time. So I headed over to Celtic. They were playing a rearranged Scottish Cup tie against Inverness. Sat down with the Highlanders. And you probably all know how the story ended up that night, with Inverness winning 3-1. John Barnes being sacked the following day as manager of Celtic, and that infamous Sun headline of Supercaligo-ballistic Celtic are atrocious. So I had a soft spot for Inverness ever since then, and keep an eye out for them. A couple of years ago, I did the North Coast 500, so I was able to get to my first game up at the Cali Stadium against Stirling Albion, I know. But I keep an eye out for them. I keep an eye out for their results from time to time. So to see them reach the Scottish Cup final this season is truly remarkable, given the fact that they were knocked out by Queen's Park in the fourth round, only to be reinstated and then go on and make their way through to the final. So Sorry, I can't join you, Liam from Crewe, on Saturday. You know, I would have been there, but I've got a wedding to go to outside St Albans. So, the joys of the off season. But yeah, good luck. Have a safe journey up there, and bring back the silverware.
Yes, enjoy it. And we are an Ipswich Town podcast, just to let you know. But we just wanted to give a shout out to Liam from Crewe and Inverness. Best of luck for their cup final. And I just said, yeah, it's the Manchester Derby in the FA Cup final. But we'll move on from that, Bono. And let's talk about the championship lineup. It's been complete. Your early feelings. We found out that Sheffield Wednesday will be joining us. I'm in the championship alongside Plymouth, of course. But also the relegation battle in the Premier League was on the final day. No Everton, so no Stew Derby. But Leeds United and Leicester have joined Southampton. So your thoughts on that, my friend?
Yeah, so I think as soon as we were promoted, our promotion back to the second tier was confirmed. Quite soon afterwards, some crazy odds came out, didn't they, about how well we were going to do. And it was like, oh yeah, great. And then over the last few days, obviously the promotion from the playoff from League One confirmed. Well done. Sheffield Wednesday, and obviously the relegation for the Premiership, those 24 teams have been confirmed. And I think I saw a graphic online with all the club badges, and it's like, okay, yeah, there's some decent teams in here. So although I'm kind of the eternal optimist, I think personally, obviously I'm not telling anybody else how to live, I'm just kind of tempering my expectations, really. But there's going to be some brilliant games. I think there's a few teams who we haven't played for absolutely ages and ages. Obviously, them up the road. I've worked a little bit in Norwich over the past couple of weeks, actually. There's so much to look forward to. Obviously, we've done our stint in League One. We don't want to go there. Thanks very much for another 53-54 years, however long it was since we were there the time before our extended League One tour. There's just a lot to look forward to, really, isn't there? I think there's a lot of teams in turmoil. There's a lot of teams on the up. There's a lot of teams kind of in free fall. Obviously, I've got a connection to Leeds. I've got family from Yorkshire. My dad is a Leeds fan. He reminds me of that every single day. So personally, I'm kind of dreading next season a little bit, because I'm going to be getting texts from my dad every single day about Leeds. I have sneaked him in to Portman Road before when Leeds have played us. That was a long, long time ago, if anybody from the club is watching. And I think that was the game actually when Alex Bruce got sent off.
Yeah,
with my dad and a couple of his kind of neutral football mates. And he didn't stay hidden for very long. But there you go. I think he's gutted that I didn't support Leeds, but I've got impeccable taste, haven't I? Yeah, absolutely. Been blue for a long, long time.
Like it, my friend. And yeah, as you said, I'm looking at the badges now. Like, there is some big clubs in the championship. Like, the championship is basically Premier League 2.0, isn't it, really, with the clubs going down there. Bringing up the miles, I know, Jobster, you do a lot of away games. Over 8,500 miles. I think the exact figure, let me get it up quickly, is 8,500 and 98 miles, of course, including cup competitions. So get ready for, of course, the Carabao Cup, whatever it's called nowadays, the FA Cup as well. Papa John's Trophy, goodbye. Thank God for that. But yeah, what are you looking forward to, my friend? I'm looking at the badges now. Like, yeah, Leeds is a massive one. You know, I said, like, Leicester City, you know, they won the Premier League not long ago. They were playing the Champions League and stuff, you know. Is massive. You know, West Brom are down there, Watford are down there, Sunderland, you know, going back to stadium alight. But what's your early feelings looking at that graphic of 24 teams?
How geographically spread it is. You know, Plymouth down in Devon, Southampton down there in Hampshire, to Middlesbrough, Sunderland up in the north. Yeah, Town fans are certainly going to put the miles in the next season coming up. Some of the ones that stand out to me are, we've got some in the Midlands. We've got a nice little cluster in the Midlands there. Like you say, Leicester, you've already mentioned. We've got Coventry, we've got Birmingham, we've got West Brom. And talking of West Brom and probably Bristol City as well, we're going to have some subplots, I think, throughout the seasons, you know, with the Ashton O'Leary connections from before. So they're going to stand out. And then two in South Wales, you know, Swansea and Cardiff as well. So personally, I'll probably, you know, I'll wait for the fixtures to come out before I start plotting my map. But I think at this early stage, I'll probably do one of the two South Wales clubs, that's for sure. I did enjoy the trip down to Plymouth this season just gone. So again, it just depends on where it is. And, you know, let's call it out now as it is. We're going to have to take into account Sky, aren't we, and the broad games that get broadcast. So whilst we make plans for a Saturday, we'll find out that probably get brought forward to a Friday or moved out to a Monday night. So yeah, we're going to have that fun as well this season. And I'm not downing that. That is a welcome change and a welcome bit of fun, but it will add to the travel plans, that's for sure.
Yeah. And we've got London games as well. I know we had Charlton last season and stuff like that, but it's a nice little chain. We've got a few more closer ones like Watford, QPR, Millwall, of course. And I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people ticking off grounds for the first time because I know we haven't been in the Championship for a while. There's a few that I'm sure a lot of people have done before. You know, this whole city there. Huddersfield, we're naming every team now. Preston, Blackburn. Birmingham, as you already mentioned. Stoke City on a Tuesday night. I bet that's what's going to happen. But Bono, which ones are you looking forward to? Of course, they're going to bring more away fans, I'm sure, at Portland Road. Because, yeah, bless Fleetwood and the Accretons of the Well, they brought maybe 40, 50 people. But these teams, they're going to bring a lot of away fans, I'm sure.
Absolutely. Looking forward to the Welsh teams. I remember Cardiff coming. They're pretty good. Obviously, Cardiff have a slightly infamous... some of their fans, Birmingham as well. Who else? I'm not being rude. I'm just looking at the list on my phone. Having to remind myself who's in the league. You know what? What strikes me the most, Ross, is that obviously we've come from League One, where you have got teams that can get 30,000 playing against teams that get kind of two or three or four. In the Championship next year, there's not a lot of difference between the supposed bigger clubs. Obviously, you've got Leeds, who are kind of head and shoulders, then Sunderland, and then there's a lot of other people. You know, obviously we talked about Leicester, didn't we? The fact that they were in the Champions League, and you know, they played in Europe up until very, very recently, didn't they? Are Leicester a bigger club than Ipswich Town, for example? You know, the gates that they get, Southampton, Millwall. I know it's not all about attendances, and you have to balance out fan base and heritage and previous achievements and stuff like that. But I'm looking forward to welcoming everybody to Fortress Portman Road. Please respect the neighbours on your way out.
Not Norwich, though.
No. Well, I know, but...
I'm looking forward to that, though. That is one that, yeah, you know, we've not had for a while. And it's even like we've got, you know, our season ticket holders, we're smashed out already. But there's going to be a lot of, you know, young Town fans who have not experienced the derby before.
Yeah.
And definitely, you know, it's going to be level playing fields, really, now for the first time in a long time. But yeah, carry on, Bono. Sorry, it's intro. No.
It's just, I've got a really weird feeling. I mean, Jubster, thank you. You raised a really good point about games getting moved. So when they announced the fixtures, and I think the fixtures, what is it, June the 26th or something? I don't know. I don't make notes.
June the 22nd.
June 22nd. Okay.
Make the notes, everybody.
So, I'm always pretty spontaneous. I've got a strange feeling that obviously we have asked to be away, and the TV people and the league people, they will always put a team that's relegated from the Premier League against a team that's promoted from League One. You just know that it's going to be like Leeds away on the Friday for the first game of the season, or Leicester away, or Southampton. I'll just name all the relegated teams. But I think, yeah, there's some quite good memories, haven't there? We've had some pretty good ding-dongs with a lot of these clubs. I remember seeing Gareth Bale for Southampton back in the day, so at Portman Road. I think that was when Connor Wickham made his debut, wearing the number 40 shirt. I remember watching that in the North Stand front row with my mate's dad. But, yeah, it's just... it's hard to get excited whilst you're trying to kind of temper your expectations. And I've touched upon this already. It's like, oh, it's going to be great. We, you know, all these bigger teams. We don't have to go here. We don't have to go there. And we've got all these kind of teams that we've had a history with. But then you realize it's like, you know, what is realistic for us to be aiming for? Obviously, as fans, we all want to do as well as possible. And, you know, I've seen some talk about successive promotions. And yeah, my goodness, wouldn't that be absolutely fantastic? And a chef's kiss to that kind of thought. But I think we need to be a little bit realistic, don't we? We're playing against some of these huge, huge teams that have come down, parachute payments, huge wage bills. Some of their players, you know, are worth more than our entire squad put together. But yeah, Mark, what are your thoughts? Sorry, Ross, I'll take over your job and go to Jobster.
No, you're right. I mean, what, 4 years we've been out of the Championship, and now you've only got, we've come back and look at those comparisons of those budgets, you know, some of the stats that you've seen appear on Twitter in the last sort of 48 hours, you know, we're third from bottom. Now, obviously Game Changer makes a massive difference for us. We, you know, they have got deep pockets, we hope. But yeah, you know, we're competing now on a very different playing field to the one we were competing on in League One. So you're absolutely right about, you know, tempering our expectations. You know, what is good for Ipswich Town in our first season back in the Championship? You know, I feel like we've got a good core of the team. You know, the spine of the team is good. So, I mean, at the moment, I'm just saying top half, and let's see where it goes from there. You know, the Leicester, previous Premier League winners, and you know, there's a lot of talk about how much, you know, that they owe and everywhere, and will there be a fire sale, you know, that sort of thing. But you say the same for Leeds and for Southampton as well. The teams that are still on parachute payments as well. I can't remember which ones they were, but, you know, we're competing in a very different market now for talent for our squad. So I hope Ashton's got that data dashboard dialed in. McKenna and co are, you know, looking for some real rough diamonds there for that, you know, that we can pluck out. You know, no one predicted Leif Davis, and look what he did for us this season. You know, we need another, you know, Leif Davis type signing in this season, and I think we'll do well.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, we're recording this the last day, or this will be going out on the 31st of May. So still off season blues, and you know, still this is the early feelings going into a new Championship club once again. But yeah, I'm very much the same. I'm just being chill about it. I'm just happy we're in the Championship, and whatever happens, happens. But yeah, signings is going to be a big one, and I was going to actually go on to, of course, we've seen some parts of the retain list is out there. But as we're talking about, you know, we're going to be a different market now of signings. I thought, well, let's jump ahead a little bit from our plan. So, Jobster, Bono, ignore the plan for the time being. I want to jump on to how many signings do you think Town need to make if they really want to compete? You know, we've got a core of a team, as you said, Jobster. But Bono, bring you in now, my friend. How many do you reckon we need to make to really compete? And, you know, there's going to be some players going to be playing Championship football for the first time forever or for a long time.
How many? So, as I understand it, you're asking me how many players we need to sign to realistically compete. Obviously, it all depends on, is it realistic for us to be happy that we're just avoiding relegation, or do we want to finish mid-table? It depends. So you're probably thinking, just answer the bloody question. I think probably about four. That's not too much. That's not too little. We've already got a decent sized squad. We're already aware of the four players that have left us, and obviously we've cut swathes from the academy, but I think they were all players of a certain age that weren't going to develop any further and needed to leave to further their careers. I think four is realistic. Obviously, we're going to have to replace Keo, but that said, we've got Ndaba and Baggett. Are they Championship quality? You know, one of the other things, are we wanting to sign people just to bulk up the squad, or do we want people to come in straight into the starting 11? So, you know, you look at Leif Davis, we were desperate for a left back, weren't we? We got Greg Lee. We're all relatively happy with that. And then out of nowhere, off steps this little Geordie off a plane from Australia, half asleep, wasn't that good on his debut, and then was at least an 8.5 every single game for the rest of the season. Highest amount of assists in the whole world, more than Messi, more than Ronaldo, more than every other player in the world type thing. But yeah, I think we need strengthening at the top of the pitch. I think we're pretty set in the middle. We've got about 20 central midfielders, haven't we? All of varying degrees of fitness and experience. But I think over the last couple of years, we've made some very shrewd signings in terms of potential. And I think our kind of upward trajectory, which is easy for me to say, is kind of in line with some of that potential ability that we have in the squad. So, yeah, I'll be happy with four. I'll be happy with more than that, but it's whether or not we need it. Obviously, in McKenna, we trust. We ain't ever going to see a season like 2 years ago, are we? A window like 2 years ago where we signed 3,814 players. So, yeah, we shall. I think we only signed 18, didn't we? I'm just being silly.
19.
Oh, is it 19? Yeah. Average age of a combat veteran in Vietnam. Paul Hardcastle, 1984. Four. You know, we'll just end up signing two on the last day of August now.
No.
And they'll both be loans, and everybody will be like, what? And then we'll be fine, you know.
Yeah. I think it needs to balance out, because I think there will need to be players moving on as well. There is players there you think that they need to go. And Jobster, Where are you at? You know, are you with four, but do you reckon there'll be players leaving as well? There's players returning for their loans as well. As Bodo said, with Baggett's come back, Adama's come back, Idris Elmazouni's come back, Rakeem Harper. Who else is there? Other players come back, of course.
Gassan
Ahadmi, Tete Yangi. Some of them are very much, they're young players, also players who probably not got a future. But where are you at the moment? As I said, the window's not open yet, but you can make signings, you know, the free transfers and stuff. But where are you at?
Bit similar to Bono, really. When I'm thinking about this, is, you know, there's probably four additions I see for us. You know, we've already called this one out up top, as you know, we're going to have a lot of George Hurst speculation over the summer. I would personally like Town to do what they can and try and sign him. I think they tried to do that last summer, so there's no reason why they can't continue that. But this is going to depend now on Leicester, and like I said, their predicament from you know, their loss of income. You know, we have Ladapo, and he's proven himself this year as a 20 year goal a season striker. But we're stepping up now to the Championship. You know, is Ladapo going to be capable of those sort of numbers in the Championship? I'm not dissing him. It's just a question that I'm asking. So definitely need to look up front. Gassan is a project. I don't think he's Championship ready, in my opinion. So definitely looking up front. And then, you know, Harry on the last game of the season getting sent off like he did at Fleetwood means we're now chatting about the right side. Keogh's, as we know, has left, and he was sort of that natural cover for Harry. So, you know, are we going to be in the market for a right back? Is Harry going to have to fight for his shirt back as well if we do get
something? Did you mean Kane, Jobster?
I did. Sorry. Got Keogh, Kane.
Okay.
Whoa, where did that one come from? Me making stuff up. No, yeah, sorry. Yeah, Kane. We don't have a right back at the moment, do we, for our first game of the season, wherever that may be.
Janoi maybe, but...
Janoi Danasian, man, come on.
We're kind of even talking about Janoi. And then the other area I've written down was goalie. You know, we've the Rochdale keeper, whose name I have forgotten, and I do apologise for that. He's moved on. We've got Haladki. Yeah. I think Haladki's in his last year of his contract.
He is.
Yeah. So does he want to continue to be number two to Walton? I mean, we know that Walton's nailed on and is a Championship goalie, if you know, top end Championship goalie. So we know we've got our number one, but what you know, will we have to replace our backup, or will our backup stay? Will they want a third goalie? So there are areas of the pitch, but it's like anything. We've got a good nucleus of the team that is, you know, that knows each other. They know what they're capable of. They know how each other play. You don't want to unnecessarily, you know, upset that balance by bringing in, you know, I know everyone talks about marquee signings, that sort of thing, but I don't, you know, we've got a good core of the team. And we, and as we've all said, that last third of the season in League One, that was a championship team. So if we've got a championship team, let's just do the little minor tweaks and that allow that team to go on and show that they are a championship team.
I want sexy signings, Jobster. I want sexy signings. I think Bono wants that as well, but not too crazy. But
do you know, Bono... sorry. I was going to say, do you know who the sexiest signing might be? Luongo. Obviously, we've offered him a contract, haven't we?
Yeah.
And I think he could be a real pivot. Obviously, we know how good he's been. We know how important he is to the team. And I think we're probably waiting, aren't we? Because I think if we sign Luongo, that's going to be fantastic. Obviously, you've got Evans coming back to full fitness. I think Evans is pretty suited to the championship. I think Kamara's suited to the championship. El Mazzuni as well. I know he's probably more of a 10 as well. That's how he played for Leyton Orient last year, didn't he? And obviously, you've got Don Ball, who played 20-plus games in the championship the season before that. And we've not even mentioned our captain, Sam Morsy, who's on the preliminary list for Egypt. They're playing a qualifier and they're playing their first ever friendly against South Sudan.
Fair enough.
Yeah. I don't know whether that's in South Sudan or Egypt, but there you go. And also, you look at people like Edmondson. I think Edmondson's much more suited to the championship. But is he over his injury concerns? Same as Savins Evans as well. I completely forgot that Harry Clark was sent off. So, yeah, that gives us a bit of a headache. So, really, does that leave Danasian as the only defender that's capable of playing on the right-hand side? You know, arguably, there's probably some other players that could do a job. But I think we're at that stage now where we need people that are more than just capable of doing a job. We need people to do it well, don't we? So, I think we do need a bit of competition for Burns. Obviously, Jackson did quite well last season in stages, didn't he? Or in phases, not stages, rather. But I think there's a few questions about, you know, some of our players, are they championship quality? And, you know, people like Jackson, you know, as it's weird because we're quite conflicted because we've got such a decent team, and also the fact that they all seem to be really, really decent men as well with that, and they're decent people, which kind of goes back, you know, to the ethos that we now see ourselves being run by, which I love. You kind of don't really want to throw shade on anybody, do you? And you kind of don't really want anybody to have to go or just be like a squad player. But yeah, no, I mean, Jobster mentioned my boy KVY. Let's just kind of reminisce when he first came in from Colchester United, those amazing runs, those goals, and it was honestly like, oh, those, yeah, but those runs, his ability, he was so excited. It was literally like we signed like Cafu. It was just, I know that sounds silly, but obviously he's been absolutely ravaged by injury, and they've clearly taken a toll on him physically. And I remember every time he was kind of close to getting back on the grass and being in squads, you know, the excitement, you know, I spent my youth football, you know, switching around between being a bit of a flying fullback. Obviously, my hero is Tirico and also being a goalie. So I've got a real affinity with flying fullbacks, and I'm going to miss him. I'm glad I've got my certified baller number 24 mug from the Terrace. Other mug companies are available.
KOA mug.
Yeah. I need one of those. But jump, yeah.
There we go.
Yeah, there you go. But yeah, KVY, my boy. Good luck. Fly free. Fly high. go anywhere but Norwich, which I think he will. Go anywhere else. So, he won't go Norwich. I don't think so, anyway.
No.
Imagine if he did. Oh, my God, the heartbreak.
Let's not even talk about that. But let's do some reflections on KVY, because that is on our sheet pod plan. A player that is never a likeable lad as well, but once again in football, sentiment is sometimes out the window. You want to move on. I look forward to seeing what his next path is, because we always have that connection to former players, don't we? Like, everyone probably loved Thomas Holy saving the penalties and getting Carlisle promoted to League One. But Kane Vincent Young, Jobster. As Bono said, when he signed, unbelievable. You know, we've been crying out for a good right back for years and years, and he finally arrived, did fantastically. Then injuries. But reflections on his time at Town.
Two stand out for me, Ross. The first one, and you know, let's wax lyrical about that pass to Macaulay Vaughan in that MK Dons game. I mean, you know, I was there in the north stand, and you know, the way that sailed up, and then for Vaughan just to take it down and power it past that MK keeper. I mean, that was brilliant. And it's like, you know, is KYV, you know, is he back? But you know, unfortunately, you know, it wasn't to be. But yeah, on his day, he was unplayable. He was, you know, he was a really good acquisition for us from Colchester. My other reflection is back when the women played in that famous sort of FA Cup, was it quarterfinal against West Ham? KVY was on co-coms with Radio Suffolk. So it was nice, you know, entering the AGL arena and just seeing KVY on our ramp side, and you know, had a, you know, quick word, quick hello, you know, do that embarrassing I've met my heroes type sort of chat, and just, you know, sort of wished him all the best, wished him well getting back, and such a, you know, a really nice character and a great guy to be around the club. So KVY, if you're listening to this, I wish you all the best in, you know, wherever you end up going to. Hope that those injuries get put behind you and you can play out the rest of your career.
Definitely, my friend, because he's still young. I think he's only 27, so he's still got a lot of his career to go. And I hope he does find a League One club, League Two. You know, never know, Championship, if they feel like they can take that risk of injuries. But yeah, best of luck to KVY and everyone else from the club, of course. Now, let's have a little pause then, gentlemen, with the strike, and then we'll do some any other business. I've also got another question to ask you guys, but just to have a little breather from nice little chinwag there, it's time for Jobster and Bono to go head-to-head. If you listened to the previous fan social, Ben Diaf won the strike end of season or quiz. So congratulations to him. But as always, will Bono or Jobstyle take away the crown? It's been really fun doing the strike this season once again. We're going to continue it, of course, throughout next season and forever. Just want to say thanks to everyone who's took part in the strike this season. Okay, let me get my questions up. Four questions as ever. Tiebreaker, if needed. We'll use it anyway because I did the research to find the question. The first question is on KVY, actually, funny enough. So it's a nice little segue into what we were chatting about just a minute ago. Now, talking about one of those goals, Bono. Of course, the goal against Gillingham where he headed it in. But who crossed the ball for that goal? Was it Andre Dazell, Alan Judge, or Caden Jackson? So who set up Caden Vincent Young for his first Town goal against Gillingham? Which is a lovely afternoon in Kent at Priestfield, wherever it's called. That was a fun fact.
I've never heard it called Priced Field.
Yeah. Well, Roscoe knows how to pronounce things, and that's how I'm pronouncing it. But fun fact. That's my first game of properly taking pictures or away game.
Was it?
The paper, yeah. Because before I was in the press box, just doing the press box things. But I wanted to get pitch side, take these little snappy snaps. And I've never done like away games. Home games I've been able to do at Portland Road, but away games is always a bit trickier. But that's my first ever game. So got a nice picture of KVY celebrating. Haven't got it with me right now, but yes. Anyway, that's that. What do you reckon then, boys? Dazell?
I've got a confession. I don't have, because I had to move locations. I've left my pad and pen downstairs.
That's fine.
So, in the interest of fairness, Mark, if you will allow me to answer first, because otherwise, and I've been accused of cheating before, believe it or not. Yeah, I'll answer first. I don't remember it, but I'm going to say Caden Jackson.
Okay. Justa?
I've gone Alan Judge.
Alan Judge, who hasn't got a club at the moment. He's been released by Colchester, of course, recovering from another injury. The correct answer is Caden Jackson. It's a point to Bono. 1-0 up. But don't worry. Do not worry, Justa. Question two is up next. And question two is on Liam Trotter, who recently announced his retirement. And also, if you haven't seen already, my interview with Liam, good lad, Ipswich Town lad as well. Born.
Get that plug in.
Got to. If you haven't watched already, it's available for subscribers. So check it out if you haven't already. But yes, retired from football and he's going to go off, I think for a year, he's going to go and travelling with his wife. So enjoy that, Liam. But what squad number did he wear at Town? Is it 32, 36 or 38? For your squad number fans out there, this is a question for you. Bonner, you're a squad numbers man. You like a bit of squad numbers, don't you?
I am. Not a Liam Trotter squad number, man. this is a perfect one for Peachy. Hello, Peachy, if you're watching slash listening. And he will be, because he's a big fan of both of us, I think, Mark. Because he does his research. Oh, I knew this one. He'll go. 32, 36 or 38.
You can't have them all. You've got to pick one.
36.
36. Justa?
He's gone down the middle, hasn't he? Yeah. Like Bono Peachy's screaming at the screen at the moment now going, is this one? I went 32.
32. Correct answer. He's 36. You should have gone down the middle. If Bono makes it 2-0. Going into question three. And it's another squad number question, actually, here. So, and it's on Tamás Priskin, who also announced a retirement last week. And there will be an interview with Tamás on the Kings of Anglia feed at some stage. So, check that out when it is out. Tamás Priskin, of course, the man famously scoring that goal against Arsenal and not much else.
Did do a lot else, did he? Bless him.
Bless him, yeah. But he did wear a squad number at Town, but which was it? Was it 14, 16 or 19? Good old Thomas, the Hungarian striker, signed from Watford for a little bit of money. As I said, I will be chatting with Tamás, maybe talk about his Town career as a whole, and maybe I'll talk about maybe that fee. You know, that's a big fee, you know, to play, I think, 1.7 million, as I said, so that's a big fee.
Was he a Keane signing or a Jewell signing? The Roy Keane, Paul Jewell era,
It wasn't a great era, was it, really? Although we did spend a little bit of dough, didn't we? But probably not the right amount on certain players. Some players didn't work out for obvious reasons. But
A lot didn't work out.
Yeah, a lot. I was trying to be nice, but yeah. Tamás Priskin will always be remembered, though, for that Arsenal goal. So, yeah. Always be remembered. And, of course, you'll see one of these, the goal celebrations, and that clip's been watched so many times. But can you remember the squad number in that clip? 14, 16 or 19? What do you reckon then, Bono?
16.
Jozza?
16.
It is 16, so it's 3-1. On the board, Jobster, on the board. Didn't get whitewashed. Question four, though, sadly, isn't a double pointer. It's just one pointer. So, Bono, you're probably going to win here, but we're still going to play, of course, because we've got a tiebreaker, which we'll use in a bit if Bono wants to gamble. But just to for you, Jobster, to get another point on the board, question four is on John McGrill, who celebrates his birthday in June, early June, I think it's 2nd of June, actually. Now, as always,
happy birthday, John McGrill.
Yes, of course, the under 23s, under 21s coach, whatever it's called these days, because they keep changing the reserve coach. But it's, I think it's under 21s now. I think you used to be under 23s, under 21, yeah, you know, under 22s, whatever. But yes, his middle name, the strike always has to have a middle name question. But what is John McGrill's middle name? Is it Alex, Lindsay, or Sydney? So, read it in your head. John Alex McGreal, John Leslie McGreal, or John Sydney McGreal.
I don't know why I'm laughing.
Good on names.
John. Is it Alex or Alexander?
I've just put Alex down, so. Oh,
okay.
I gave that away. I don't know if I was giving it away or not. Is that just the one of the options I've just put there?
Oh, double bluffing.
Oh, yeah.
It's like when goalies look at their water bottles with which side people put their penalties, which is I think it's so stupid that who wastes time? Sports psychologists. Big shout out to Kevin Mincher with the yellow boots, by the way. Thanks for your help this season, Kevin. Looking forward to seeing you back up on the road next year. Right, let's go with Leslie.
Drops up.
I too went Leslie as well.
It is Leslie. It is John Leslie McGreal. So 4-2 on the scoreboard. So Bono Royster has won.
Premiership. Royster. 4-2.
Yes.
Yeah.
Check that out on the Feeders Cast, of course, in pictures with Mark Royster. Catch up with him at the Dutch FA. Very good chat. Check it out. Of course, we're at the anniversary. Monday. The 23rd anniversary, because every year we celebrate anything, don't we? Just do it, don't you? It doesn't matter if it doesn't line up properly. But this year was the FA Cup 45th anniversary, so that lines up pretty well. But 23 years, it's...
Was it really the 45th anniversary?
Yeah.
Yeah, I suppose 1978. Of course, we were lucky enough to speak to George Burley, weren't we, Ross?
Yes.
When we met George Burley. Lovely man. Such a lovely man.
And guess what? That is a tiebreaker question. If you want
peek behind the curtain, I had nothing to do with this.
You didn't know this. You did not know this.
I've hacked Ross's computer.
Yeah.
The shadowy figures of News Quest. I nearly said Archant. Sorry, they're so last year. Go on.
You behind the paywall.
I wish.
Tiebreaker time. Of course, closest. We've got to get it bang on, Jobstar, to take the crown. But how many games did George Burley win as town boss in 410 games? What am I getting 40 from? Of course, Bonnie's at home as well.
Ooh. So I was just seeing what's going on with Jobstar's lighting in his. In his man cave there.
Maybe it's, you've been given the insight. the gods of the strike. Because that's what the strike came about. Basically, it got struck by lightning a couple of years ago. And that's how the strike name got basically birthed.
Really?
Yeah. I didn't really, but I felt I nearly did. Basically, it was after the Open Day back in 2019, I think it was, or maybe 2018, whenever it was. I think it was 2019 because of Paul Lambert's one. Sorry to bring him up. And
I played some big clubs.
Yeah, all that jam, yeah. Champions League and all that. Champions League final, of course, on the 10th of June. It was a lovely, lovely hot day. But then when the Open Day finished and I was on my way home, it just bloody bucketed down in thunder and lightning. And I was like trying to dodge it. And I thought I nearly got hit by it. And then I brought it up on the pod and the rest is history. That's why the strike is called the strike. Because I got hit by lightning. But anyway.
That's incredible. Are you okay?
Okay, yeah. Maybe that's why I can't pronounce things. Maybe. I don't know. And other reasons as well, I'm sure. But George Burley, how many games? 410. What do you reckon, Bono? And then we'll find out if Jobs so I can get it bang on.
I'm going to go with, hold on, let me just do some quick math.
Okay, Jobster, chance to steal it.
So a bit like Bono doing the maths on this one. I went 178.
Okay. Well, his ratio is pretty decent, actually. 45.1% is his ratio. 128 defeats, 97 draws, 185 wins. So, Jobstar, you're so close. You get a point because you're closest, but Bono does win overall. But good effort, my friend. Bono, You are the champion this week. You're the king of the strike on the fan social. Speech as ever.
Can I just... I was going to take a moment, and this might be time for you to put in some sad music, but I'm going to dedicate this win, another one, I have to say. I'm going to dedicate this win to Andy Hutchman Warren, because I have to say, it's my favourite king. Apart from you, of course. I see you more of a prince because you're a prospect, but here we go. I just want to dedicate it to Andy because I just think Andy's awesome. And I like that. And yeah, and I'll never forget the day that I found out he was leaving. I'm looking at him slightly differently now. Now that he's going to be kind of, he's going to be working for the man, isn't he? The club, Ipswich Town. And I'm really looking forward to seeing him in one of those suits. Waistcoat, double-breasted jacket, official tie. So Andy, this one's for you. You probably switched off the podcast by now because we're all dead to you. But all the best for the future. Please keep it real with the kit collecting. I did enjoy looking over his right shoulder, or was it his left, and guessing those shirts, which I have to say I've got every single one because I'm kind of as sad as you. And I'm talking to you directly now, Andy. I'm going to try and get down Foxhall Road or whatever it's called for a bit of speedway, Foxhall Stadium. I might see if Matt, this is really distracting with the music, see if Matt Worrell wants to give me a lift to the speedway. And yeah, that smell of engine fumes, and yeah, long for the day that they do electronic speedway bikes for sustainability matters. But yeah, Andy Warren, that one's for you, baby. God bless, fly high, and see you back down Portman Road. Let's get back to the pod.
Yeah, he's not dead. He's very much alive.
So. you played memorial music.
It's called Night Driving. It's basically just background music on here on StreamYard. It's
if I listen to that at night, I'd crash.
That's what it says, Night Driving. There's also Feeding the Ducks. I'm going to play this quickly. Let's just see what this sounds like. Sorry for people if you're driving, but there's something called Feeding the Ducks. I'm going to find out what this sounds like.
Feeding the Ducks with Roscoe Ross Halls. Brought to you in association with Manscaped and Ginger Pickle.
Yeah. Of course, use 20% off and get free delivery with the code Coway at Manscaped for all your blow the waist grooming. Of course, Ginger Pickle for all your marketing needs, Google Ads and all that jazz. So there we go. Well,
feeding the ducks whilst driving at night.
Yes. That's where we're going with this. The final piece for the podcast is a quick question on Tyrese John-Jules. Would you re-sign him? Jobster, what do you reckon, my friend? He had a good loan spell here, half a loan spell, because, of course, that injury that cut that seat, that loan. Although he was there, part of celebrations, he was there at some Portman Road games. He seems like a really good lad. I think he's got 1 year left on his deal at Arsenal. Arsenal, of course, building as well for the future. I don't know if he'll have a chance there, but what do you reckon?
Well, we got Harry, didn't we? So Arsenal might as well be our feeder club. But yeah, no, we talked about it before the strike, didn't we? You know, one of the areas of the pitch that we will probably need to strengthen will be up front. Tyrese, you know, whilst he has only played 17 games for us, netting, I think, 3 times, he's been in and around the club. He knows the DNA. He knows what we're all about. And he would fit quite, you know, fits into that mould of he wouldn't be upsetting, you know, the dressing room by coming into us. So I definitely would do. He's 22 years old. Okay, he's had some injuries, but, you know, we've done very well with our injuries this year. With, you know, we've got the right sort of setup behind the scenes now. So I think we could, you know, we could help a player rehabilitation, you know, a lot better than we probably have done at any point in the last sort of 20 years, I'd say. But so yeah, I'd sign him, absolutely. Yeah, and I really hope he's probably one of the first ones that gets announced.
Yeah, we shall wait and see. Well, Bonner, your thoughts then? Let's do the checklist for the player dashboard, the Mark Ashton dashboard. Let's do a checklist. Young, 22, check. Versatile, check. Good lad, check. You know, he's been brought up well, I think, you know, with Arsenal and just in general, he seems like a, you know, a top young lad. Check. Injuries, we've signed players of injuries before and they've gone on to hopefully, you know, go away from the injuries. What do you reckon then, my friend? You said, yeah, he's 22. Now, he has played in Championship before, but he only made 11 appearances for Blackpool. He's had injury, like he was at Sheffield Wednesday last season, got those injuries as well. I think he played once for them and got that injury. But from what I've seen him, what I really liked him from, you know, as I said, he could play different roles, but that goal against Shrewsbury is up there. I think I was reading the programme for the Exeter game and a lot of people put their favourite goal. They picked actually that one. You know, of course, Chapman scored some great goals and, you know, Broadhead's free kick and stuff. But for some, I think people picked that maybe because of just that the moment and Tyrese is a good lad.
How can you pick a free kick as your favourite goal? I mean, everybody likes a free kick, but favourite goal? Anyway, that's for another podcast. Tyrese Jones, famous uncle. Check. Of course, Red Dwarf, Dwayne Dibley, etc. Yeah, I'd sign him. I really like the look of him. I think that was, he is a great example of a player that can just seamlessly come in and kind of adopt that role that K-Mac asked him to play. And I just, if he's available and he's not ridiculously, which is easy for me to say, expensive, I think we are going to be spending more money because there's going to be more money available. Let's not forget that our the rules are different. I forget the acronym or the mnemonic rather of what the rules are, because last season they were blah 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 blah, and then this season it's different rules. I think Mark Ashton's explained it on to Andy and Stu previous KOA pods, haven't they, about how the rules are going to be different. So we are going to be spending more money, and he has spoken in the last month to other journalizers about, you know, does his future lie at Arsenal or does he need to move on? And you kind of, I think, for what it's worth, my completely insignificant opinion, you look at his age and the strength and the direction of the Arsenal squad and where they're going, he ain't going to be, I'm sorry, I love you, come to Ipswich, basically. Same with, this is a question for Jubster, actually. If you had to pick one, George Hurst or Tyrese Jones-Jules?
I think you're both.
That's not, no, that's not an option. You're not the strike quiz master best in the world now, Ross. One or the other realistically. You tell me your thoughts and then I'll tell you mine.
Realistically? Oh, it's just a tough one. You know, look at George Hurst and what he did, and like I say, in that final third of the season. I've pitched George Hurst just slightly ahead of Tyrese, just purely from what we have seen on the pitch in that last third. And I suppose there's the background as well. You know, Ashton, Makeda, they've made it sort of, it's not been a public secret, but it's been that sort of, like, you know, that secret that they've, you know, George Hurst, they've admired him from afar and looked at him. So if you're asking me to pick between the two, sorry, Tyrese, it's George Hurst for me.
Yeah, I echo your thoughts. However, when George Hurst first signed, it was kind of like, oh, you know, I'll come to Ipswich and then I'll go back to Leicester. But then I don't think he's got much of an affinity with Leicester, has he? I don't think he has he even played for them. So I think he signed, did a pre-season, then he went out on various loans, didn't he? And I think them coming down, I don't think it will make it even any harder or any easier to sign him. I know two.
Yeah, sorry, that's not really good for the audio listeners, but I've just put peace.
Okay. Oh, two, yeah. Two. Oh, right, yeah. Yeah, and is that all he did? Two games, okay. I think George Hurst might see himself as a bigger player type thing now. I'm not saying he's a Billy Big
testicles. I just think maybe he's done quite well at Ipswich. Will he want to stay? But then again, I'm kind of spitballing now. He's one of the lads, isn't he? And you know that group and the dynamic. I think that's such a pull for people, isn't it?
McKenna's wanted it for a while.
And everybody. And I think I was reading an interview with one of the new. I think we've got a new academy manager that came down for Man City, that just said Kieran McKenna's amazing. Why would you want to stay at a club? I mean, Leicester in turmoil, aren't they? They and all that kind of thing. Same with Tyrese John-Jules. Is he going to want to stay and just be a fringe player at Arsenal? Or he could come and be part of something. He could be like a history maker. And I don't think I'm being too emotional or too ridiculous. Football is emotional. These players have got a part of, you know, we're building something here, and they could each be a bloody good brick in whatever we're building. And yeah, they both know the plan. I know it's about Tyrese John-Jules, and as per usual, Bono, I refer to myself in a third person now and again. I've completely hijacked it and gone off at a tangent. But yeah, let's sign him up. Give him a squad number now.
Yeah. What about, you know, there's two things now, isn't there? We're in the Championship. Tick. You know, people are going to want to come and play for Ipswich. Now, we all remember, I don't want to get my managers mixed up. Was it Roy Keane that said, I have trouble enticing players to come down to Suffolk because of where it's located? We've got Kieran McKenna now. And, you know, you look at the comments that Connor Chaplin said in the last week or so, just around, Barnsley being he wasn't really welcome there. Look how he's, you know, settled really well at Ipswich. And Ashton promotes the community. You know, if you don't want to get involved in the community, you know, it doesn't matter what type of player you are, you're not going to be welcome at Ipswich. So they're USPs, you know, that make Ipswich stand out from the others. We haven't got that problem anymore of trying to entice players down to Ipswich. I think players will now see, Ipswich are coming calling for us. I want to listen to what they have to say, and I'd like to speak to them.
I think this whole thing, and I remember it from what you're referring to, Jubster, about, I don't know why Roy Keane, because it's ridiculous, because yes, Ipswich, yes, it's in East Anglia, and we're kind of on this side of the map, and a lot of people are on that side of the map, but the world's a smaller place now. You know, Ipswich is an hour from London. You know, we're only a couple of hours from the Midlands. It's a beautiful part of, well, some parts are a beautiful part of the world round where we all live. And you know, it's not like some big conurbation. It's not a slum. Ross, I don't know. Yeah, those comments weren't helpful, were they, back in the day when people like Roy Keane were saying stuff like that? We're not on Mars. We're not like on the Outer Shetlands or on the Isle of Wight. You know, we're not that far away. And I think when people, if you were a London-based player, people move houses. These guys have got money. They move. You know, I met Freddie the Dapper at my local supermarket. He's moved up here. So, you know, I think sometimes, and if we're signing the type of blokes for the team that have that ethos, that have that mentality that Game Changer and Ashton want, then they're going to be grown-ups. They're going to know that they're going to have to move for work, which football is to them, you know, very, very well-paid, well-rewarding job. They could come here and just be kings of Anglia, can't they?
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, but it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting. Because, officially, the window doesn't open until the 14th of June, Wednesday. But we signed the Dapper. I think he signed on May the 30th when we recorded this. We already announced the signing. The Dapper signed. But I'm sure there's work being done behind the scenes. We shall wait and see Mark Ashton and co. We're now getting to now, though, boys. I think that's the perfect time to end it. But as always, any other business, Jubster, anything you want to mention, my friend?
No, I think we've covered quite a lot in this last hour. It's flown by. I do enjoy coming on here. It's, you know, great to see you virtually, Ross. Can't wait to see you in person back at Portman Road or an away ground. And likewise to you, Bono. Looking forward to see catching up in person, chewing the fat after another Ipswich win in the Championship.
Indeed, looking forward to it, my friend. I'm sure we'll hopefully catch out, you know, pre-season and over the summer as well. Bono, over to you, my friend. Any other business, donning that lovely Kings of Anglia hat. As said, check out the merch shop, hoodies, all the other stuff you can buy, mug. Got a plug, haven't we? Got a plug it. But yeah, over to you. Any other business?
Any other business? I'm quite enjoying seeing all these leaks of the pitch with like full of sand and diggers and stuff. I might have to go down there and peek through a window or a turnstile, see what I can see. Yeah, looking forward to the new kits. Home ones, definitely blue, I hear. And yeah, a little bit of personal news. Last season was my last season in the Cobbold. I'm no longer going to be viewed from the U2. I'm moving somewhere else to be closer to some friends of mine. So I'm looking forward to seeing the patterns of play unfold at a completely different angle next season. So I don't know. Can I still be Bono if I'm not in the U2? I don't know. I don't care because so yeah, plenty to look forward to. And yeah, roll on the signings, roll on the kit announcements, roll on the leaked pictures of the pitch updates. Yeah, it's been great. Thanks for having us, Mark. Ross, you take care. Have a great summer. And I'm sure I'll see you both soon.
Top man. Well, of course, mark your diaries for the 22nd of June for the fixtures. Get yourself ready for all of the championship fixtures and all that jazz. Of course, there'll be all fixtures to change, subject to change, because they always do because of other bits and bobs. But yes, Jobstead, Bono, it's been a pleasure. Thanks for joining me. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Hope you've enjoyed this good hour chat on all things town. As ever, check us out on all the socials at Kings of Anglia on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. Jobster and Bono is also on Twitter, of course. Follow them for all their tweets and all that. We're back for more podcasts in the future. And also in pictures, check out with Martin Reusser. And the next one up is with Gus Ulenbeek, the Flying Dutchman. And I'm a Dutchman, part of the Holland trip. So check that out when it's out. But yeah, thanks for listening. Goodbye for now.
The story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.